screwed you and crushed you in its fist. When the way you're treated has got you good and pissed. There's been one solution since the world began. Don't just sit and take it, stick it to the man. Rant and rave and scream and shout, get all of your aggression out. They try to stop you, let them know exactly where they all can go. And do it just as loudly as you can, stick it to the man.
The theater, the theater. Theater. To be or not to be. Theater, theater. The play's the thing.
Oh, hello.
Hi, everybody.
Oh, it's you.
Oh, it's you guys again. Well.
You know, y'all, I'm in that loopy mindset right now. I'm in the midst of tech week.
Oh, yeah, you are.
Yeah,
you're in
I had
it.
Final Hell dress week. Last night.
Yeah.
for a show I'm directing with 15 high schoolers doing Henry VI, part 1, 2, and 3.
Can't
which
wait.
We've edited into two plays. It's going to be epically something. No, it's gonna be
well,
great.
CJ and I are gonna be there tomorrow, and we're going to be cheering. And
for part one and two, are you doing both all the way? Wow,
yeah, we're bringing snacks. We're gonna take a little break. You know,
hoot and holler.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You will be surrounded by parents. Don't smell too much like weed. You know what I'm saying?
I think we've got
gummy. They're all going to smell like weed.
You're right.
They're going to smell like weed.
I don't know what I was thinking.
We're in Los Angeles.
Bunch of hippies, yeah.
For love of God, like teenagers' parents, like, it's just like, no, this is the only way I can get through this.
It's true. No, you're right. Yeah. I don't know what I was thinking. Yeah.
Perfectly
Xanax
legal.
Bars and weed will be coming out.
I don't want to reek of weed near the kids, though.
No.
Oh, well, sure.
Yeah,
good
no,
thing.
We'll
good
bring
thinking.
Individually wrapped gummies.
Yeah. on some sad news, though, recently, someone did pass away that is a staple in the theater community. Somebody we've talked about at length. We did a whole episode on the Fiddler on the Roof movie and talked Topol for hours. Yeah, Topol passed away, y'all.
Yeah,
shit.
Topol passed away.
R.I.P. 87.
Yeah,
good life.
Yeah, and Rena Strober, who's a friend of the podcast and somebody that I've worked with a few times, got to do the tour of Fiddler.
Oh, cool.
With Topol, and
that's
so
awesome.
Had some really lovely things to say, and
yeah,
she had always spoken. From the first time I worked with her 10 years ago, she was always like, he was amazing. And then, you know.
That's what I've always heard.
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously, I've been a huge fan of Fiddler on the Roof since I was a kid. I mean, that movie. I played Tevye in high school. But also, I was a huge Flash Gordon fan.
Yes.
Hans he's Zarkov.
Yeah.
You know, he's the scientist.
Yeah. He's also in For Your Eyes Only. He's
he's
not a Bond villain.
He's like one of the
he's like comes on
scientist henchman or something.
Is it
or what
goon?
Is he?
No, he comes on, he helps Bond. He's like gives him info and
I think he
guns.
Might even be playing a role that is a role that matters. It's like a role that shows up in a lot of Bond films.
Right,
could be wrong. Yeah.
It was kind of like, the Felix character that
kind of
Jeffrey
Felix,
Wright
but
played.
I don't think it's Felix. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
not Felix in For Your Eyes Only, but it's sort of a substitute.
Right, yeah. right. Well, I mean, that's a sad thing that he's gone, but we stand a legend.
Yeah, watch Flash Gordon, watch Fiddler on the Roof. Ooh. That'd be a hell of a evening. That's a fun double feature. Yeah.
Sunrise, sunset, flash doom 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 doom
doom.
Somebody please mix those.
That's a good mashup.
It's the ultimate Topol mashup.
Yeah. Anyway, welcome all to Theater Theater, the theater podcast for theater nerds, made by three theater makers from the LA theater scene. I'm Jay Bailey Bertram.
I'm CJ Merriman.
And I am Scott Leggett.
Yep. And each week we get together to discuss and debate the definition of theater through various lenses. And we have returned to form discussing the evolutions of the great playwrights by taking a macro look at three of their works. This is part 3 of 3. It's the end of our mini-series covering the works of Drulo Webb.
Drulo!
Andrew Lloyd Webber. That's right. It's the Fantcast of the Podpra.
Good one.
It's a good one, yeah.
We started out with Evita, and then we went to Phantom of the Opera.
Uh-huh.
This week, we're talking School of Rock.
Indeed.
Yes, yes.
American rock musical, right? Just a solid American rock musical. That's
totally.
All it is. Yeah, that's what it is. It was my choice.
Yes.
I wanted to talk about it.
Yeah, why did you pick this one?
Well, a couple reasons. One, I know that most people know Evita and Phantom of the Opera more than they would know your average musical, likely, right? Those are those are things that most musical theater people just know. They have it in their blood a little bit, right?
Right.
Sure.
And also, sorry to everybody for the last two episodes where we just completely alienated anybody that likes either of those two things. It's trash. No,
we
it's
were
not.
Coming, we
it's
were
not.
Coming out. We, come, we came in
we
hot.
We came in hot. Yeah.
Listen.
We come in opinionated.
Yeah. He's famous. He's given everything every time
he'll
he writes a show.
Fine.
He's fine. People can have opinions about his work.
Exactly. Right. He'll be fine. And also, my take is that Evita's good. If Phantom's good, they're just not, it's just not my, like, it's not my thing anymore. It was once.
Not so
much anymore.
I liked what you said about they're not responsibly watched a lot of times.
I think that's very true.
And that's been
a
very good observation for this whole thing.
Really great observation. I agreed.
Especially Phantom, I think, is extremely irresponsibly.
Yeah.
I don't know why I went there, but that's fine. Irresponsibly watched. It's just, with the whole Phantom thing, people thinking the Phantom
some
relationship
love
is
story,
some romantic thing. Yeah, it's not. So, but with this one, it was sort of like, one, School of Rock, the movie, the 2003 movie.
Mm-hmm.
I was 13 when that came out.
Mm.
And I saw it in theaters, or I might have been like 12, about to turn 13. I saw it in theaters with a girlfriend, Allison. Shout out to Allison.
Hey, Allison.
And we were in like 7th, 8th grade, something, maybe that summer.
That's perfect.
And, I mean, I was like, this is my movie.
Yeah.
This is my movie. I was a huge Jack Black guy.
Oh, yeah.
And when I found out Drulo was doing a musical, it was confusing, to say the least.
Yes,
and we'll talk about why, but that's sort of, that's why I chose it. I think there's so much to talk about here, even with how little there is to talk about here.
Yeah, agree.
Well, and
it's not a very substantial musical, but there's like interesting things pop culturally.
Yeah.
I had never, ever been exposed to this musical once in any way. So I found what ended up being the junior script that they now do in junior highs and high schools and stuff.
Sure.
And read it and then put the tracks in and also read like a summary. But all it made me do was want to rewatch the 2003 movie, which I did. And it's it really is the 90s and early 2000s. It was really a time for like leading men that were kind of like man children, like, because Jack Black was huge for me too, same as Adam Sandler and Will Ferrell and
for
all
sure.
of those types of movies that
Absolutely.
Were coming out at that time.
Yeah.
That was the genre, and we loved it. We went to the box office.
And some of them have aged better than other ones.
That's true, and this one's aged really well, in my
it's
opinion.
I think
good,
the
yeah.
film really has,
Even the, like, one slight joke towards, like, I'm a pedophile kind of thing, like, it's still well handled. It's like, oh, that was kind of funny, yeah.
Right.
But because it just cuts to them chasing him down the hallway. Oh, no. Very funny. But, yeah, I mean, the movie makes it's cost $35 million to make, makes $135 million. Like, blows up. Huge film.
I
has 90-something percent on Rotten Tomatoes, you know?
Well, and they got like some cool deals for it. Like Jack Black called Led Zeppelin and was like, "Hey, man, can you just let us use this song?" Like,
because
they famously hadn't licensed a lot of their music.
Or they got the Immigrant Song, right?
And they got the Immigrant Song, which
it's because
I actually have that list for later too.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure he like just did that. He was like, "I'm gonna put on Immigrant Song and like sing it at Joan Cusack," and they filmed. I don't even know that that was necessarily in the script, and
like
then that's why he called Led, like, "Hey, hey, all of Led Zeppelin, come talk to me about this." So I want to get into it. I want to introduce it real quick, and then we can get to the breakdown of CJ.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But so this is School of Rock the musical.
The musical.
Colon the musical, exclamation point. Exactly. It's a rock musical based on the 2003 film of the same name.
Yes.
Premiered on Broadway in 2015. Jack Black was in attendance opening night.
Oh.
Nice, okay.
Pretty cool. Music by Drew Lowe Dubs, whatever you want to call him.
Yeah.
Lyrics by Glenn Slater, who also did the lyrics later for Love Never Dies and wrote the book with
them. Oh, you don't say.
He also wrote Sister Act the musical.
Oh,
man. Which premiered at the Pasadena Playhouse, a place no one should ever work. And then Little Mermaid.
Oh, damn. Oh,
hot take. I did just quit there for very like legitimate reasons, so that's why I said that. That was terrible. I should probably cut it out, but I'm not going to. Little Mermaid for Broadway. He replaces Ashman as the lyricist for the Broadway version of Little Mermaid. Oh, and then okay. He also wrote Tangled.
I love that movie.
Yeah, Tangled's great. Yeah, absolutely.
We love Tangled. And then the book is by Julian Fellowes.
Oh, yes.
Also known as Julian Alexander Kitchener Fellowes, Baron Fellowes of West Stratford, Deputy Lieutenant.
Ooh,
yes.
He's an English actor, novelist, film director, and screenwriter, and a conservative peer of the House of Lords.
Yeah, so we'll get into. I have a real dub. Strong yeah. feelings about that and
yes,
him and Weber.
He is primarily known for winning the Oscar for Best Original Screenplay in 2002 for the film Gosford Park.
Oh, okay.
Which is fantastic.
It's been ages since I've seen
it. It's fantastic.
I think the script is great. I don't know. I rewatched it during the pandemic, and I remember being like, this is not as well made as I remember. Maybe it's just the timing, 2002. I don't know. It's fine. And as the creator, he's also the creator and writer and executive producer of a little show, the multiple award-winning series. Maybe you've heard of it. It's called Downton Abbey.
Downtown Abbey.
Downtown Abbey.
I do love my Downton.
I love me some Downton.
Oh,
love
God.
It.
So, sure. Three white British dudes, the ultimate team assembled to bring us the epically American rock and roll tale of Dewey Finn and the Kids of Horace Green.
Yeah.
CJ, break it down for us, baby.
CJ's breakdown.
The even more musical retelling of the 2003 Jack Black vehicle School of Rock, but no Jack Black or Joan Cusack or fun classic rock backdrop. Think Daria when they lost all the rights to the amazing 90s soundtrack.
Oh,
a mildly creepy story of a 30-something jobless man-child that is saved because he lies about who he is and some junior high kids think he's cool.
Yeah.
True. CJ, you kind of explained you didn't really have any relationship to this.
I knew the movie. I've seen the movie a billion times, but I did not know the musical.
Scott, did you know the movie? Did you know the musical?
I certainly knew the movie, but no, not the musical. I knew it existed.
Yeah.
And, you know, then went and listened to the cast recording and watched as many clips as I could on YouTube and read through the with the junior version of the script that CJ had found online.
Right.
Yeah.
And what about you? Have you ever seen it?
I have not seen a professional production of School of Rock. However, when it came out, obviously I was like, "Whoa, I can play Dewey Finn. That's like so my role."
Uh-huh.
First of all, like my first thoughts when this gets announced that Andrew Lloyd Webber is writing the School of Rock musical, I go, "What the fuck?"
Yes.
No,
yes.
I don't want anything to do with that.
Andrew Lloyd Webber's doing that? What?
Makes
how?
No sense. And then I had like three people jump up on Facebook or whatever and go, "But Jesus Christ Superstar is rock." And I'm like,
ish.
From
yes.
a different time.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, maybe if he's going to really go.
Even less rock than Jay.
Agreed. This is more musical, for sure.
Yes.
And very of the time, right, of 2015. Like, it's, you know, and what I was hoping for, that part of me did go, well, I guess you're right. If he goes full rock and goes into like a classic rock style musical, that's interesting, but he doesn't. He goes, no, it's 2015 pop rock musical theater songs. And I'm
well,
like, okay.
And he made
whatever.
A lot of dumb, disparaging comments along the way, like, you know, Because my instinct was, oh, if you're going to do that, then do a jukebox musical. Like, really.
Yes.
Just really.
Could have also done that. There's 100 different ways to go
absolutely,
about it, honestly.
Absolutely.
But he, well, and I'll get this to it in a second, but he bought the rights. He was like, I'm going to
yes.
do this.
He,
right?
He bought them early on. Like,
yeah.
And,
which is annoying, and we'll get there later. But something that also came up for me is when it was announced, I thought it was a bit. For a really long time, because do you remember in the movie? I did, until it was like coming out. In the movie, there's a moment where the Miranda Cosgrove character, Summer, auditions to be a singer, and she sings Memory, but badly.
Right, right, right.
So I was like, oh, it's a bit, because like, obviously, like, she sings Memory, and it'll be like this whole thing, everybody will laugh, and it'll be a meme for like the next 10 years. No, this is a musical, a full Broadway musical. Anyway, this is the piece I wanted to tell. So it was announced right away after the Broadway show opened with Alex Brightman and Sierra Bodges, and we'll talk about it later, that they were going to give it for free to be produced anywhere in America by any youth theater or school
that
wanted
sense.
To put
okay.
it up for free.
Okay.
But it had to be done in the year of 2017. So they announced it in 2016 that you could do that. 2017, you had the year to, like, prepare and do it, okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I got contacted by a theater company out here who I've worked for multiple times. They produced my Little Shop of Horrors. They produced the Danny and the Deep Blue Sea that I was in. And I've done some cabarets with them, things like this. And I get a call from the producer, and he said, hey, we've got the rights, the free rights to School of Rock, the musical. We want you to play Dewey. And I was like, holy shit. I was like, this is it. I get to play. I get to do the West Coast premiere.
My moment.
And I knew it was youth theater, but I was like, but it's youth theater with adults, so it'll be fine. It'll be great.
Yeah.
And I learned every single piece of music. I knew every line. I knew it. Like, the back of my hand, I was like, I've got this. This is my, I mean, it's my dream to do a Jack Black type thing on stage, right? I got to perform at a local Thousand Oaks, like, here's what's coming up in theater and Thousand Oaks thing for, like, you know, 10,000 freaking people. It wasn't that many. It was 2,000 people. And I was completely ready to start rehearsals. I get a call from the producer. He says, so there was a rule we didn't know about.
Oh, no.
And I said, what? And they said, even the adults have to be played by people under the age of 18.
Oh, no.
And I said, what? And he was like, yeah, sorry. We were about to start rehearsal, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And the kids were already practicing. The kids were already learning the music on the instruments and stuff. We were going to give them backing tracks, but these are real musician kids.
Cool. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
As you should, which is kind of the coolest part of this whole thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
There. One of the coolest part of the movie, too.
Like, oh, absolutely. Yeah. And all those kids are still musicians and they're badasses. But he was like, okay, well, sorry. You know, maybe you can help. Maybe you can direct. Maybe you can. I was like, okay, yeah, that's fine. I'll do that. I'll do that. They never found a kid to play Dewey. I never got a call, and they just never put up the show.
Aww.
And then all of a sudden, it was 2018,
man.
And I called, and I was like, hey, let's do it. And he was like, no, you can only do it in 2017 for free.
Oh.
So I've
I bet the kids were disappointed.
Times. They were. And I've pitched a few more times, like, hey, you know, we should try to put this back up. But it is very expensive.
Of course.
And it is a lot of rehearsal for those kids.
Oh, yeah.
It's
really
a ton of shit.
It. Yeah.
It's
well,
nuts.
Yeah,
also,
and it was...
Yeah.
I was just going to say, one of the interesting things I read was that they decided to open it on Broadway because they had a little bit more flexibility in terms of kids' rehearsal schedule. Like in England,
well,
like
child
had,
labor laws
child
are
labor
a little
laws
more lax
gone,
in the U.S.
But
well,
then
the
he also
it's
felt
the first
that,
musical not to come out on the West End of Andrew Lloyd Webber's since Jesus Christ Superstar.
That's right. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
To start. On everything else started on the West End. This is the first one to go to Broadway only because of the child labor law thing.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Huh. He also said he felt like it would be easier to cast the kids in America and get a little bit more diversity and that kind of thing. But I just thought that was an interesting take on it. And yeah, like, and I'm so sorry. Like, that's a blue ball, dude. You got
it
blue
sucked.
Balled.
It sucked. And it sucks to, like, kind of still know it all. And, like,
yeah.
Like, I didn't even really revisit it for this. I, like, listened to some of the songs and went, oh, yeah, okay, of course. Like, I know it very well. I want to go back to something, though, and we'll talk about the songs. But you had said, CJ, like, it deletes, like, all of the songs that are, like, original classic rock. There is a bit of Stevie Nicks in there.
Yeah, well, I have Uncle Corner here. The music that you are missing from the movie, you've got Substitute by The Who.
Right.
Yeah.
Touch Me by The Doors.
Yeah.
Sunshine of Your Love by Cream. Immigrant Song, Led Zeppelin. Edge of 17, Stevie Nicks. That great Joan Cusack scene.
One of the
love
best scenes
one.
Of the film. Oh, my God. Oh my
And then they had My Brain is Hanging Upside Down by the Ramones. Like, just all of these great, fun, and it's just nowhere to be found in this. I will say that the one musical thing that I appreciated, of course, it didn't... The thing that was hot and fun to make fun of when I was in college, which was 2002 through 6, was Florence Foster Jenkins. And this was a couple years. We all had her at the actual Florence Foster Jenkins album. So the Queen of the Night stuff that they include in this is fun. But that was like, and then I remember like a couple years after I graduated, they did the Florence Foster Jenkins musical about her.
Did you see that movie with Meryl Streep?
I didn't see it. I do remember one of my favorite and actual Florence quote was, "Some people said I couldn't sing, but nobody said that I didn't."
No, that's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. They do, you know, they keep some of the movie songs that were written for the movie, though.
Yes.
Which is good. I mean, obviously, In the End of Time is the one that I first think of, which is that, you know, the Legend of the Rent.
Yeah.
Bit that apparently was mildly improvised by Jack Black the first time it was done. I think it was, like, written out, but he, like, came up with a lot, you know, obviously added all the sounds and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
What are the songs in this that y'all... like, what are the songs you're like, oh, this is a good song, this is interesting, because there's some good stuff in here.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It my big criticism of the songs, and I think that there's a few good ones in here, is that it's this fight, and you feel it all the time when anybody does a quote-unquote rock musical, and it's like and if you mentioned it earlier, it definitely has this sort of white bread, watered down, the 2000 teens Broadway sound to a lot of it. But it, again, not without its charm. I really, really love the performance of what's it called? What's her name's song? Is just
Miss Mullins?
Oh, Where Did the Rock Go? Where Did the Rock Go? I don't know why. I think it's on the cast recording. It's just a really great performance that comes out, and it's you know, I love, you know, and you get to do that in a show that's, you know, this kind of light, is that you can show the this you know, very stern character, and then the underside or the other side of them, and that's really that one I really liked.
On the original cast recording, it's Sierra Bodges, who was the Christine in the Royal Albert Hall Phantom that I talked about last time. Yeah.
Great, great, great voice. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I thought the song If Only You Would Listen was really sweet.
I did, too. But you know what I thought this time around? It used to give me goosebumps. This time I was like, Matilda does this better. Matilda the musical has that song that... I can't think of what it's called or how it goes now, but it's that one that is sort of like, my parents don't even, or like, don't pay attention to me. I don't remember the song. You know what I'm talking about.
Right. Yeah.
It's that song all the kids sing together, and it's kind of a montage in the film. And it felt, it kind of was the same sentiment, but I was like, this isn't putting me in my feels like Matilda did. Yeah.
Right.
But it is a good song. I like that.
What
song.
About you? What do you like on it?
I think Stick It to the Man is kind of an interesting
Stick
song.
Stick It to the Man is good.
I think it's fun for the kids and for everybody. That's like the real big one where he and the kids get to bond for the first time.
Right.
Climb to the Top of Mount Rock is probably my least favorite song.
Yeah.
That opening, climb to the top of Mount Rock, and you're like,
And
well, like, and it's where you hear him. Maybe I would like it, but inside of it, I'm like, eh.
Well, and it's where, because I'm calibrating. I'm like, because like, Jack Black's the guy. Like, that's part of the reason I kind of ask, why did you do this? with such a unique and specific person. And so in that song, you until, and I think he does settle into it as it goes along, but it's definitely like, I'm doing Jack Black. I'm transmitting a little bit. Like,
and I had two big questions after spending some time with this, like Sound of Music. And I know there's one other in my, oh, well, I brought up
Carrie Underwood's Sound of Music.
Carrie Underwood's Sound of Music.
Brought up Patti LuPone singing Evita compared to Madonna. Mm. And I would be interested to hear what you think, Bailey, since you were possibly going to play Dewey.
It never happened.
This role that is so specifically Jack Black and that made it work in the movie was Jack Black. Going up, is it satisfying to go up and just do, like, people are walking out and saying, like, well, Jack Black did it better. Do you go up and do a Jack Black impression, or do you try to do your own thing with it? Is it just an uphill battle no matter what?
I think the needle you have to thread that I think Alex Brightman almost threads is, I think you have to both have the DNA of Jack Black.
Mm-hmm.
And also bring a totally new person to the stage. And right. I know that sounds insane, but what I really mean is, like, I think you have to have the Jack Black isms in there a little bit, because some of those moments in the film are so iconically him.
Yes.
That if you don't do it that way, I actually feel like the audience will be a little let down.
Yeah.
It's sort of how I feel about the Shrek musical. Because every time there's a moment that they pull right out of the film, they do it just a little differently. And I'm like,
yeah.
Well, you didn't say it how I wanted you to say it.
Yeah.
I agree. And I think that the other trick about Jack Black is his comedy is so rhythmic.
Yeah.
Like he's a musician and he infuses his musicality into his comedy and the comedy into his musicality. So like he'll stretch and hit moments comedically because of his cadence and because of his time or because of his he pushes and pulls back a little bit. He's really amazing to watch because he's also a theater dude. He's a theater dude, and so
he's got a set of fucking pipes on him too.
And he just knows all these tricks, and like I like it when he gets a little heavier too in some of his darker films and all that.
Sure.
But he's just amazing in that way. And again, so it's an uphill battle. But I absolutely agree with you about threading that needle.
I think you have to have some of his mannerisms. I think you have to have obviously the man-child thing is important. And I think there's got to be a little bit of that tenacious D. Heavy metal in your voice or it doesn't fully work for me. However, I think going up and doing a perfect impression of Jack Black will kill you too.
Yeah.
So it's tough. It's a tightrope walk. Tough.
But I think there are audience members showing up to see an impression of Jack Black.
I think so too.
I think so too, which is why
I think you have to do enough that they're satisfied.
But they've got to be smarter than the audience.
Yes, but also the thing you have to also think about is this book is pretty different from the film in terms of, well, the story is pretty much exactly the same, but it focuses a little heavier on the children.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
A little less on him, except for this newer kind of love arc with Mullins that's
kind of
more
awkward.
than in the movie. Yeah. But besides, which is a very musical to, or movie to musical type thing to do, to be like, let's give Miss Mullins more of an arc and have her actually a human. And I'm like, she is a human in the movie. You don't need to add seven songs. I get it. Joan Cusack is so amazing. But I think you're right. I think people are paying to come see School of Rock. They're coming to see Jack. And half of that is Jack Black. The other half is Richard Linklater.
Yes.
So you're losing Linklater. So we need to see the Jack Black of it all. And it's tough. I don't think Alex Brightman fully pulls it off, in my opinion. That's just me.
Yeah, no, it's a trick. And the other thing
about Mickey Mouse for me. He's a little Like, Radio Disney.
Like, turn it down. But the other thing about Richard Linklater that he brings to it is that balance. You can tell that Linklater's energy while filming that movie was the kids and making sure those kids had identities and that they were clear. He didn't have to worry about Jack Black so much. Like, and that's the one thing that I kept reading. I went and read a lot of reviews of the original production. I was like interested in what critics were saying. And most of them were like, hey, this is kind of charming. It's the kids. It's the kids. Yeah. It's watching these kids. And
well, and they're actually playing.
They're actually playing. Dope. Yeah. They're great singers. The choreography's cool. And they move well. Like, they're great. They're awesome.
Same with, like, Matilda, where I'm just like, yeah, I love watching this. This is great.
Yeah. All those kids are badass. Oh, my God. Yeah.
And talented. And it's so much better than anything I ever did as a child.
Can I throw a crazy pitch at y'all?
Sure.
And I don't.
Fever pitch.
I'm not saying that this is what I think would be better, but this also made me think of, in my opinion, a far superior musical, Putnam County Spelling Bee.
Mm.
And the thing that I love about that and that I love about shows like that is I think it's funny and sometimes poignant as fuck to see adults play children.
Yeah, sure.
Is that something you could do with this? Do you think it would change it a bunch? Would it be better? Would it be worse? That just crossed my mind.
Everything endearing about it would go out the window, in my opinion.
Think so?
Yeah.
I think Putnam County Spelling Bee is incredibly endearing.
No, it is. But it's endearing because it is what it is.
Yeah.
It's endearing because it's written as adults playing children.
Sure.
And they find that heart side of it, but it's also a joke at the same time. That if you chose to do that with this, I think it would I'm just imagining it. I think it would be not only like it would ruin sort of the magic and the fun of it all, but also it like the poignancy in general would just be out the window because all of a sudden you'd have Dewey Finn like talking to a group of like,
of, like I just think it's fucking hilarious when adults play children personally. That's me. But.
Oh yeah. I agree. I think you got to choose your material first, but yeah, I think that's true here. I don't think it would work. I think it does work to make it all kids.
Sure.
I think having a kid play Dewey, a kid play Miss Mullins and all the parents, that's funny. I think, you know, that could be. That
well,
could
and
work.
That's what occurred to me the whole time I was experiencing it was, I don't know that I'd want to go to Broadway to see this, but I'd love to go see a fucking junior high or high school do this. That would be,
absolutely.
It's great for that.
Yeah.
And I've heard people who did see the West End or the Broadway production who were like, but it's actually so much more fun on stage than you can even imagine because it's like a big rock concert. And then every once in a while it like slows down and they do like a musical theater number. And I'm like,
yeah, they slow down and do a musical theater
what
number.
It sounds
Come
like,
on.
Yeah,
right. You know, it's Weber said that, you know, he's like, I couldn't imagine you know, doing a show of 2 hours of heavy metal,
heavy
and
metal,
I'm like, fuck that, dude. I want to fucking.
That's what
I
want to
sit
that
down with him
to...
and say, play me some heavy metal, Andrew.
Yeah, exactly. what's your heavy metal?
About.
Yeah,
and he puts on Heaven on Their Minds from Jesus Christ. Yeah. No, sir.
Well,
but
and
it
it's
goes
also
back
like...
to like what Scott said about Rent, where everyone's like, this is a grunge musical. And it's like, no, it's not.
It's not.
A musical.
Yeah, it's a
you
musical.
Can still like Rent, but it's not a grunge musical.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But I think that's the problem in general with what we talk about all the time with Broadway, with the West End, with money-driven theater, is that he was like, Broadway audiences won't want that. I must do this thing that Broadway audiences want. And I'm like, yeah, and I get that. And I get that Broadway makes a lot of money, and Broadway is Broadway, and blah, 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 blah. But as people from Los Angeles who are constantly seeing and producing work that is so profoundly different than what they're doing on Broadway, it's just... It feels soul-sucking to me to be like, oh, yeah, you musicalized... You, like, Disneyfied this thing that wasn't super Disney, and now it feels that way because you're like, well, that's what sells on Broadway. I'm like, yeah, it's a little
annoying.
But can
you imagine if you actually wrote a rock musical? If it was good, the other people that it would bring into the theater community to come see fucking theater.
Right.
Because
and
it
there's
was
been a lot of
rock
that.
Music.
There's been a lot of real, true... I think you can hear my baby crying.
Yeah.
Real true to God, like rock musicals. They just don't go to Broadway.
Yeah.
Right.
They're on,
yeah.
They're off Broadway, right? They're in smaller houses. And
they're,
and that
yeah,
shit's
they're,
cool.
It's totally cool. Yeah. I think one of the things that drove me nuts about this and going back to the sort of commercialism is the movie is subversive. Richard Linklater and Jack Black are subversive, you know, not overtly, but like it is. So when you have Stick It to the Man as your theme here being written by Lord Baron Weber, Andrew Lloyd Webber,
the man
and
himself.
Lord Baron to the man. Julian Fellows. I'm just like, fuck you, you turds. Like, you got a billionaire and a half billionaire talking about sticking it to the man. You're the man. Yeah. You're the one that they should be sticking it
and
to.
And that was sort of my point at the beginning is these three should not have been the men who wrote this.
Right.
And that's why it doesn't fully work. Like, the DNA of the movie is there, but the DNA of Linklater is not.
Right.
And that's what I think your point is, Scott. And then you get the DNA of Drew Webbs and Julian Fellows, and it all just becomes Downton Abbey. So I think I have... okay, wait. I want to say one last thing about Alex Brightman, because last episode I shouted out very quickly that Beetlejuice is the most basic musical. I don't know what it is about people that are not me, but apparently... everyone is obsessed with Beetlejuice on Broadway. I am sorry. I've watched long amounts of it. I have listened to it. Top to bottom, a bad musical. And I think Alex Brightman is horrendous in it. And I don't know why everybody is so in love with it.
I agree, dude. And the problem is, it's the same problem. And it goes to the root of ideas for Broadway musicals. It's like, this is clearly a cash grab. School of Rock was a little less of a cash grab thing, I think.
Right.
But that's not Beetlejuice. Michael Keaton's fucking Beetlejuice. You can't just do Beetlejuice and I'm going to do something totally different and have it work. The reason that it's Beetlejuice is because it was Beetlejuice. It was that thing.
And that musical, much like this musical and other musicals based on films, falls into the same trap where they Broadwayize it so much that it's lost all the edge. It's lost all the things that made that movie what that movie was.
Right.
The Tim Burton of it all is what made it. And then all of a sudden you lose, like, it's not really even about the two main characters anymore. Like the ghosts, I think it's Baldwin and Gina Davis. It's like less about them and more just about Beetlejuice being Beetlejuice. And in the movie, Beetlejuice is in, we've said it three times, by the way. He's probably
here he goes.
I just realized.
Bloody Mary.
Yeah, good. That cancels it out because she kills Beetlejuice. But what was I saying? I don't even... in the movie, Beetlejuice is on screen for like less than 5 minutes. That's why the movie rules.
He haunts it. He literally haunts over the whole movie.
So when you make him your Cat in the Hat,
yeah,
in Beetlejuice the Musical! Exclamation point, in Seussical the Beetlejuice Musical, I'm like, I don't give a fuck anymore.
Meow. Hashtag hot take.
Another hot musical
all over the place
that immediately made me homicidal, but it's because I fucking hate the source material, is SpongeBob SquarePants.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I think you have to really love SpongeBob to want to like that musical, and then I think you have to really understand, one, it's for children. Two, it is just like a goofy good time and nothing more. You're not walking away from that musical being like, I am a changed human now.
Right.
They marched on to the Macy's Day Parade and did a performance of that one Thanksgiving. Yeah, and I muted the television and walked out.
I could hear CJ screaming from across town.
I could be wrong, but I think that might have been the same year. No, maybe not. I think it might have been the same year as Mean Girls.
Uh-huh.
It was one of those things where it was just like, oh, God. Like, this is where we're at now. Like, they went back to back, and I was like, what are we doing?
Broadway's doing exactly what Hollywood's doing right now.
Yeah. Well, and I get it, and it's expensive, and putting on a Broadway show is a big roll of the dice, and you have to be a little commercial and all that. But when I think about... and this isn't a fair comparison, but when you compare Weber to Sondheim and the brilliance of Sondheim taking an idea, a concept, because I don't know of any totally original Sondheim things. He was always riffing on an idea of some sort.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, Company is...
Oh, Company. Like, that's a great example. Like,
there's
yeah.
a few. There's a few in
but
there.
But even the ones that he is extracting, if you look at Into the Woods, I'm going to take these fairy tales and make a show for adults about fairy tales. And he gets into incredibly beautiful and deep themes, and obviously the music and the lyrics are all brilliant. And but Weber's sort of taking his ideas are fucking weird. Starlight Express is a weird concept for a show.
It's his death of a salesman.
Well,
his Hamlet.
You know, I mean, Phantom is just has proven to be a misstep in terms of where we are as a culture
now.
But it's just it just sort of strikes me as odd, and so this one strikes me as odd. Although I would like to give him credit that I feel that he does back off of his Weberisms. It's not overtly if you listen to this, I don't like, if you listen to a Sondheim show, you can go, that's Sondheim. But this one, I don't know if you can do that quite as easily.
To the point though, Scott, that the first time I listened through it, I went, wow, he is phoning this in.
Oh, okay.
Because I was just the first time I listened to it in 2015 when it came out, I went, right, wow, there is no Weber DNA.
There's
in
no Weber
whatsoever.
DNA. But I was kind of like, right on. Maybe.
But then I was like, oh, he's trying to do American pop rock musical.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing. Yeah. So that's what it is. I just remembered the song from Matilda so randomly. When I grow up,
oh,
that
my
song.
God.
That's the better
CJ,
version
have you watched
of
that
the,
yet?
I haven't watched it yet.
CJ. You will dig it the most. I know we throw stuff at you, but this
I
is like
another quarantine.
You
this
have
is like
to
an
know.
Hour and 20 minute like
it's quick. It's 80 minutes tops. It made my top 10 of
fine.
The year.
It. I'm making it's a note just, in my phone right now.
Everything about it is great. The
it
kids
got into
are
my top 10 of the year. Top 10 of the year ranking and Lashana Lynch is getting a nomination from me for Best Supporting Actress in it.
Yeah.
That's a dual nomination because also Woman King, but I'm giving it to her for Matilda. Yeah.
And then that whole relationship with her and
Emma
Matilda
Thompson
is
so
just
good.
Like, oh Emma God. Thompson's, oh, the parents are great. Both of them are
I cried through the evil. Whole thing.
You cried.
It's so good. There's so many babies in it.
There's so many babies. Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. Can we talk movie?
Yeah,
the movie itself, real quick, before we get out of here.
Yeah,
Richard Linklater, director of Dazed and Confused, Everybody Wants Some, which is the sequel to Dazed and Confused. Not a lot of people know that.
Boyhood. Yeah,
a lot of classiques.
Yeah,
a lot of things that I grew up loving. I was a huge Dazed and Confused fan.
Oh my God! Yeah, I still remember the night and moment I saw it. Yes.
Yes. Same here. So to the point that when this came out, I was like, the new Linklater.
Yeah.
I can't wait. And it has Jack Black. And it's about kids my age playing music. You know, like it was, I was the perfect person for this film at the time. And it's also written and created by Mike White.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Obviously right now is having the
he's
best time of his career because
he's all
keeps winning for White Lotus.
He's all through pop culture over the past 20 years, and we don't quite realize how much he's
so much so that he is on, and I'm pretty sure gets to the end of, spoiler alert, a season of Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't win, but I think he's in like the top three or something.
Yeah, he makes it real deep into it.
I remember that. I remember watching it. And it's he's so funny to watch on that. But he's also Ned Schneebly in the movie.
Yes.
Yes.
That's Mike White. And he just won some White Lotus stuff at the Emmys.
Oh, he's
obviously.
Got Emmys. He got Golden Globes. He's
they
got
love
it
cutting
all.
To him every time Coolidge wins something because he's just always crying through it. It's so funny. But I love Mike White. And then
apparently he's just a gem of a person too.
Aww,
he's
that's just always sort good
of
to hear.
Kind of fought his way through, right. And you know, and it just works and is a good people.
Yeah.
I like
you
those
have
stories.
You got Jack Black. I was a huge Jack Black, Tenacious D kid.
Well, and he's in his prime. He's full on in his prime.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Not that he's not still
kicking
ass.
Fucking Sarah Silverman's in it.
Yeah. Sarah Silverman's actually great in it as like kind of the straight one.
Yeah, yeah.
It's another like trope from that time.
The villain,
bitch girlfriend
sort of?
That's like, why don't you get a job and do your laundry.
The
what a
hen bit. Pecking, yes.
Pretty funny.
Yeah.
And then Mike White as Schneebly is hilarious because he's
hilarious,
just sort of like,
yeah.
okay, yeah, my girlfriend wants me to, I don't know. And then Joan Cusack, maybe the MVP Stop of the it. Movie besides Jack Black. I mean,
I just
like
her so much.
She's incredible. I would love to have her see her have a comeback. I don't know what her most recent thing is, but it feels like it's been a little bit.
Didn't she just do something on TV that was like a really big deal? I can't remember. I'm going to look it up. You guys
look it
up.
No, but, I'm looking it up already.
Okay, you look it up. I'll keep talking.
But going back to, like, you know, I think Working Girl was probably her first. I mean, other than like her cameos in 16 Candles and stuff like that.
The first thing I remember her in just watching as a kid was Say Anything. And she's his sister in that. And great performance in that. That might have been her first more major thing. And then Working Girl.
Homecoming? She was in Homecoming?
On Amazon? Yeah.
I'm looking at IMDb, so I'm not seeing if it's...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the Julia Roberts
movie. Oh, you might be right, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, duh.
Yeah. So, kind of interesting, Joan Cusack's career up to this point. This was almost... This wasn't a comeback for her, but she hadn't done anything major since, I think... Adam's Family Values, maybe? That was, like, this iconic of a role.
Sure.
Right.
She had popped up in a few things, but then I'm not looking at her IMDb, so I'm
probably
forgetting
something.
She was
in It's a Very
Great.
Muppet Christmas.
Of course.
Aww.
Something I've never seen.
She was in a TV series called All About Joan for 21 episodes in 2000.
Yeah, that was a sitcom. High Fidelity. I do remember that. Oh, High Fidelity, of course.
And then she's been in all the Toy Stories, too.
Yeah.
She's Jessie in 2 through 5, or however many there are, 2 through 4. But yeah, I got this DVD. It's right next to me somewhere. I'll find it. I bought this DVD, and I watched the special features on loop. There was this whole thing of Jack Black, like, a day in the life of Jack Black, like, getting ready to go to practice with the kids, to go practice... guitar lessons, or like band practice is what he called it. But it's like a half hour MTV thing that they threw on there, and it's him being so Jack Black, like taking a shower, and like and they're like in the shower with him, and he's like, okay, you gotta wash your hair like this, and like, you know, and then like getting to the I vaguely remember him like getting to the rehearsal and playing like 3 notes and then putting down the guitar and being like, all right, that was tough. We got to go get lunch, and then like leaving.
I think I remember
pretty
that.
Funny. Yeah. And then there's a whole thing about like casting the kids. There's like a mini doc about them casting the kids and then what the kids went through after the movie came out and how they all got to do all these like school tours and play as a band with Jack, and they got to record a whole album together and stuff. It's pretty cool.
And then they did a, I think they did like a 10-year reunion where they had them all.
I remember that.
That was kind of cool.
Kind of recent. And then there's a documentary called Rock School that came out a couple years later. And I remember because I was working at Blockbuster when it came out, and I took it home like the night it came out because I was like, what is this? And it's about a school that is called the School of Rock.
It's a chain now.
It's a chain.
Yeah.
And it's a thing that actually trains young kids to be like rockers, you know. It's not just musicians, it's like rock and roll, you know, and all variations of it. And the doc is interesting, but the guy who runs it's an asshole too. So it doesn't feel like a Dewey Finn vibe. It feels like this dude being like, this is what we're doing, and you're like, okay.
Okay, all right.
But it's still a good doc, and the kids are really into it. And
we know some friends.
That's the magic of this. Who do School of Rock?
We know a few friends who sent their kids to the School of Rock.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
It's cool. Yeah. It's cool.
But I just think the magic of School of Rock and the reason to see it is because the kids playing the songs. That's pretty cool. No matter what,
great.
You're getting that.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's pretty fun. That's all I really had on School of Rock. I appreciate y'all bullshitting.
Yeah, no,
with me
I think I got
it.
All. I think I got all my venting out. You know, like I said, it is absolutely not without its charm. Did I?
Sure.
Was that a double negative?
Maybe
it's charming.
It just makes me want to watch the movie, which is what I immediately did.
Yeah, if it comes around here, if somebody does a big production of it, I'd go see it. You know, but yeah.
Agreed.
Are we ready to do the thing that we haven't done in a little while?
It's been a freaking
minute.
Yeah.
And I love this shit.
You do.
Bailey loves ranking shit.
I do. I love ranking shit. So we're going to rank these mofos. Let's rank the three that we covered. But if you, I also want to hear, like, if you have a favorite Andrew Lloyd Webber that goes above these, I want to hear that as well. So give me your 3-2-1 or 4-3-2-1 if there's a,
I'm going to do 4-3-2-1.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Give it to me.
Oh, you want me to start?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go Phantom.
Number four.
Yeah. Then I'm going to go Evita.
Number three.
Then I'm going to go School of Rock.
Okay. Number two.
Then I'm going to go JC Superstar as, yeah, as his piece. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Siege.
Oh God. I don't feel good about what I have at all. for four I have, and I guess this is, I don't feel good about this at all. Don't listen to me, anybody. Four, I have School of Rock. Three, I have Phantom of the Opera. Two, I have Evita. I want to see someone do this and include all of the stuff that we know now. And I would love to see it with a younger actress playing younger Evita in the beginning. I would be interested to see that.
Mm. Yeah.
And then, duh, number one, Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yeah, right, yeah. My number four. Here we go. My number four is Evita. Okay. I don't like it. I just don't like it. It's just Bailey not liking
something. We're all
really
different
like
on
it.
This.
Yeah. Number four is Evita. And, you know, don't at me, but also if you want to come fight me about it, come fight me about it. Number three, School of Rock.
Okay.
Okay.
Number two, Phantom of the Opera. And then I would probably put Joseph and Jesus Christ Superstar above all three of those.
Okay.
Yeah, but Jesus Christ specifically is my top. Yeah, we all love JCS.
Winner, winner, chicken.
Where would cats be for all of you?
Also, none of us are religious people, so that's kind of funny. Cats for me would go between Evita and School of Rock.
Mm, okay. Okay.
Because I think it has its place. I have some nostalgia for it. It was one of my first musicals on Broadway that I ever saw in first grade. I got some love for it. I saw both cuts, butthole cut and non-butthole cut of the film.
That's true. That's true.
I think some of the songs are actually, if you separate what it is for the actual song, there's some well-written stuff in there. Yeah. I think it's better than Evita. I don't think it's better than School of Rock because... I just really love the source material of School of Rock.
Right. What about you, Siege? Where would cats fall?
Cats would be at five for me. I don't know. I mean, like, this miniseries has made me question my entire upbringing.
sure.
No, sure. I mean, it's something.
If anything
when you,
was
when
going
you,
to.
Yeah, you know. No, it's something to look back at some of your nostalgia and go, what holds up and what doesn't? What am I holding on to? Well, and then my interesting thing is, like, why do I hold on to some things? It's just, there's some things that I hold on to for, you know, very sentimental reasons and then... but can still acknowledge, that doesn't hold up.
Yes. Where does cats fall for you, Leggett?
Oh, it would probably be at the bottom. It would probably be five. Yeah, when that was blowing up and those things were blowing up, I just was into other stuff. So I kind of was like... pushing it away. Same with Les Mis. I was pushing it away while I was like going, no, fuck that Rocky Horror, dude.
Sure.
No, fuck that Tommy, dude. Like, that's what I was far more interested in. I like it darker.
Do y'all have any roles that you dream about?
Dream rolls.
We haven't done dream rolls in a long time.
We haven't done it in a long time.
I miss that stinger.
I would do, you know what? I kind of would want to do Phantom and do it in a fucked up way and really like try and reinvent. I don't mean that in a disturbing or disrespectful way. I mean, I would really like to try and figure out if there's a way to really play it. Like, the dude should be dirty. He lives underground. Like, he just should be filthy. And he
probably smells like mildew from the
lake.
Oh
my God, absolutely. He's got to have some sort of, you know.
So you would go the Robert Englund route. You would go the like Freddy Krueger, like
maybe not that kind of dark, but I would like to I would kind of like to play with the psychology while still acknowledging this sort of disturbing elements of it of sure. that we recognize more clearly now.
Siege, you got any dream roles?
I mean, they're all from the same show. I would play Jesus, Mary, Judas, or Simon from Jesus Christ Superstar in a heartbeat.
Not Pontius? You don't like Pontius?
Pontius is fine. I don't like his songs. I mean, I would love to play Herod, too. I think Herod has the fun song.
Yeah.
I just want to be in Jesus Christ Superstar so hard.
So hard.
Talk about a Jesus complex. I would love to play Dewey.
Of
obviously.
Course. Yeah. And you would really like, fun. And sincerely, like,
you'd be great.
You would really be great at it. Like, it God would, you fit it.
I also would, I mean, you know, in Phantom, there's the two dudes who run the theater. Very fun roles.
Oh, they're fun too. Yeah. They're my.
Okay is a very fun role. I don't, you know, there's things. I guess it would maybe be fun to play like the fat cat in Cats.
Bustopher Jones.
Bustopher.
Yeah.
No, Bailey, I had designs when I was going through Phantom. I was like, I want to play the two producers with Bailey.
That'd be fun. That would be hilarious. Yeah.
I want a coat with tails.
It could be fun to do like, I could never sing it, but like Carlotta in drag or something.
That's a great idea.
I love Jesus Christ Superstar, but I'd rather direct.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of same vision with me. For that.
Yeah, yeah.
I like Sunset Boulevard a lot, actually. There's some roles in there.
I would that's the one that kind of always has tweaked me as a director. I'm like, ooh,
like
you could really do some fun stuff with that, you know.
Yeah.
For sure.
Anyway. Man. Let's get out of here. Let's spotlight some L.A. motherfucking theater. What do you say?
Let's do it.
L.A. Spotlight.
Shall I begin?
Yeah, do it.
I've got stuff. I've got three. I got Picasso at the La Pina Gil at the Ruskin Theater Group in Santa Monica. Check out the RuskinGroupTheater.com for more information. We also have Calvin Berger at the Colony Theater in Burbank. I've heard really good things.
Really good things. It's based on Cyrano. It's a Cyrano de Bergerac in the high school.
For a second, it's like Calvin and Hobbes?
No.
I'll see a Calvin and Hobbes play.
No.
It's like set in high school, but it's sharp and not like dopey.
Oh, cool.
Some really good reviews, but check out colonytheater.org for more information. And finally, come get me, Maggie. It's the Rogue Machine at the Matrix Theater on Melrose in West Hollywood. It's running through March 26, getting great reviews. And just yesterday, two people were like, no, it's really good. And Rogue Machine always does.
They always do
great
good
work.
Shit.
So, yeah, go check them out.
Words.
Next.
Gifted through, it's through April, Fridays and Saturdays at 8, Sundays at 7. That's opening tonight, the night we're recording, Friday the 10th. Loftensemble.org. And I just wanted to update One Act Somewhere. The handles will be available for y'all to contact them and submit to. Their next show is going to be in April. They're getting ready to put out prompts for the next writing thing. So if anyone out there wants to write a one act, that's at Late Night Picture Show 32 or at Anima LLC or animafilms.com. And that's
very
weird spelling. So it'll be in the bio, y'all.
Word. Who's doing Gifted?
Loft Ensemble.
Loft
is.
Ensemble.
Oh, I've never heard of them. all right, let's do
it. We literally talked about it last week.
They're fine. Okay, we know that we... I was about to do your part, CJ, and I'm not going to do that. let's get the fuck out of here. Thank you for joining us.
Yes.
Is that where we are?
Yeah,
thanks for joining us for the end, the finale of our mini-series covering Andrew Lloyd Webber. Fancast of the Pod Pro, we say goodbye to you.
It was a good series.
Yeah. For the next 4 weeks, we are going to be doing another mini-series, a bonus mini-series.
Bonus episode.
And it's original movie musicals. So they were musical movies before they were ever on stage. Oh, and then after that is Brandon Jacob Jenkins.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Questions, comments, compliments. Do you want to heckle us about our Andrew Lloyd Webber takes? Please reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach out to us via email, Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. Scott?
Thank you, CJ. A big shout out to Ryan Thomas Johnson. He writes our theme song, and our theme song is better than your theme song.
Bitch.
Yeah, I had heard that.
He also writes all of our stingers. He's an amazing human being. And then finally to the great award-winning playwright, Carol Churchill.
She writes
every single one of our episodes and she doesn't even know it. And one day, Carol Churchill, we're going to buy you a beer.
Or a rye whiskey, whatever.
Whatever you're into. She's probably a wine lady.
What if she's into like Red Bull and vodka?
Hey.
Borging. Have you guys heard about Borging?
No.
Borging is basically college kids slamming gallons of booze mixed with electrolytes mixed with water.
And it's like butt chugging codeine.
But they call them rage gallons. It's Borging and you fucking chug it. Yeah. You get just wasted.
It's so that you can stay hydrated. Come on.
And drunk.
Kids.
Subscribe, rate, review. It really does help. Subscribe to this garbage podcast here.
Yeah.
Rate, review. We appreciate you and we'll see you next time. It begins on a dark stage. And then a beam of light. And you see me and my guitar. Meow, meow. Meow, meow. In the end of time, there was a man who knew the road. And the writing was written on the stone. And then a thin layer of fog comes around my ankles. Roadies, this is dry ice. We're going to talk about this later. An artist led the way, but no one could seem to understand. Chimes Freddy, in his heart he knew that the artist must be true. But the legend of the rent was way past due. Well, you think you'll be just fine without me, but you're mine.
Oh, that was really good.
You think you can just kick me out of the band? That's all I remember. Okay.
Later, everybody.
The theater, the theater.
Theater.